And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the Georgia Guidestones and all the controversy surrounding the Guidestones. And as most everybody knows by now, the Georgia Guidestones are no more. On the morning of July the 6th, it was reported. I started getting emails very, very early in the morning because apparently this happened about 4 a.m. Somewhere around 4 a.m., there was some kind of explosion at the Guidestones Monument, and then one of the giant stone slabs collapsed to the ground. They've got the video footage out there. Most of you have probably seen it by now. And then there was all this speculation throughout the day as to what happened. And people were arguing that maybe it was somebody who was an anti-New World Order person, because there have been protesters there on and off for years. Typically what they've done is they use graffiti and that kind of thing to protest the New World Order. People were speculating that somebody got tired of the monument and set off some kind of explosion somewhere. Problem was, while they had videotape of the explosion, they had surveillance footage of it, it stands to reason that if somebody had set some kind of an explosive there, that there would be videotape surveillance footage of that as well. Well, at first there did not seem to be any surveillance footage that was being reported, but as of July 8th, they now have video footage. They show video footage of a person running near the Georgia Guidestones right before the explosion. At least that is what is claimed by 11 Alive News. Let's listen to at least the audio. Listen, here it is.
FBI is hoping new video will help them nail down the person responsible for blowing up the Georgia Guidestones. Check it out. The GBI says this video shows the person leaving an explosive device at the structure and then running away. We circled them for you so you can see that person going in and then running right back out a little bit later.
Okay, so what they show in this video, and again, that's being reported by 11 Alive. 11 Alive, I assume it's 11 Alive News or something like that. But they show videotape, and you see a little figure. They put a red circle around him, and they show a little figure moving, although it's really kind of hard to make out who that figure is, and it looks like they've sped up the video. It even almost looks like, I mean, I hate to say it, but it almost looks like the person who's going in and then coming back out, that could be CGI. I could be wrong. CGI, computer-generated imagery. You really kind of have to see it to know why I say that. Just the way it looks. But it may be just because it's very dark and because it looks like they've sped up the video. So the little figure is moving quickly at an unnatural sort of pace. That's probably the case. But not enough. I mean, it's so small, you really cannot make out any specific details of who that person was. Looks like maybe they're just wearing all black, perhaps. But you have to see the footage. And now, of course, the headlines on the Guidestones, they were there for a couple of days, but now they seem to have died down. But there's all sorts of arguments going on. I've been getting emails and messages from different people. You have those who are saying, for example, the last thing that I've heard is that supposedly the Pfizer CEO had vowed to rebuild the Georgia Guidestones. This is one of the messages that I got. And there's a lot of websites that are reporting that Pfizer's CEO, of course, People don't trust Pfizer because of the vaccines, because they believe Pfizer is part of the depopulation agenda. And I think that they are probably right. The evidence seems to point in that direction. None of us trusts Bill Gates, Pfizer, the whole vaccine industry, Dr. Fauci, the whole scamdemic. We don't trust it. We don't believe that this is a real pandemic, and we don't trust the vaccine industry. The vaccine industry is notoriously dishonest. They are notoriously dishonest, provably dishonest. And remember something, the Centers for Disease Control on the vaccines openly admits, I did a show on this, I went down the list on their website from the Centers for Disease Control, on their own website, they admit that yes, death is a potential side effect of the vaccines. They admit that. That's official. So don't let anybody tell you it's a conspiracy theory. No, it is not. They've admitted it. And myocarditis, your heart problems and your blood clots, death, myocarditis and blood clots are all acknowledged by the medical community officially, where the vaccines are concerned at this point. So it's not a conspiracy theory. It's not anti-vaxxers coming up with something. That is all provable information, according to official sources. Even the same sources who are telling you to get vaccinated and to get boosters and all this other kind of stuff, they're also admitting that, yes, myocarditis, blood clots, and death are possible. Possible side effects. Now, as to the assertion, back to the Guidestones here, and the assertion that the Pfizer CEO is planning to rebuild the Georgia Guidestones, one, I'm not sure. Well, let me just say this. Reuters has an article they just published 5 hours ago as of this recording. And it says, Reuters says, quote, fact check, Pfizer CEO has not vowed to rebuild Georgia Guidestones. Contrary to claims online, they say, Pfizer chief executive Albert Bourla has not vowed to rebuild the Georgia Guidestones, a granite monument that was badly damaged in a bombing earlier this month. A screenshot of a New York Times article has been digitally altered to make this unfounded allegation about the monument, whose enigmatic message has made it the subject of several conspiracy theories. So that's what Reuters is reporting here. So they're claiming that they have fact-checked the issue. Not that we always trust fact-checkers, but they fact-checked the issue, and the Pfizer executive has not made a vow or declaration or anything about rebuilding the Guidestones. If in 6 months or a year they start to rebuild them and Pfizer's paying for it, then that'll tell us what we need to know about this fact checker. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens. I found it very, very interesting. I mean, my first thought when I saw the video of the explosion, and then by the end of the day, you see, I was working on the newsletter. Many of you have read the article that I published on our Noise of Thunder website. If you haven't read it, you can go to noiseofthunderradio.com and just click on the articles drop down, and it's the first article that's there, at least right now. And you can read the article. I gave an overview of it. I gave links to a series of video surveillance footage and things like that, and then talked about our own experience there and how we know that they have video surveillance. When I was there back in 2015 filming for our documentary, Dark Clouds Over Elberton, The True Story of the Georgia Guidestones, which, by the way, that film, that DVD, is the true story of the Georgia Guidestones. That gives you the true story. There's lots of conspiracy theories where people are speculating about Ted Turner and Scientology and all this other kind of stuff. They have no way of proving their assertions. They're not really giving you factual information. They're giving you their theories, which are interesting. But if you want the real story on the Georgia Guidestones and you want to see in detail and interviews with people who are directly involved with the planning and the construction of the monument, watch our film. because that's what we show you. And yes, we track down the identity of the man who called himself R.C. Christian. And that it's the whole thing unfolds like a detective story. Now, there are some people who have watched the film who come to the conclusion somehow or other that we took advantage of Wyatt Martin and got him to show us his IBM computer case, which he did voluntarily, which anybody can see by just watching the documentary. And because it was certain information that we saw, that we documented on camera while he had his IBM computer case, which you have to understand, prior to this, publications like Wired magazine made a big deal out of Wyatt Martin's IBM computer case, that supposedly within that case was the secret to understanding the identity of R.C. Christian. To our knowledge, he had never shown it to anyone else. He didn't show it to CNN. He didn't show it to the other media outlets that came to interview him and so on. He showed it to us. He had never shown it to anyone else. And part of the reason he showed it to us is because we actually got along very, very well with Wyatt Martin. And part of the reason I think that he shared it with us was because, partly because we were Christians and he was a Christian man. And I do believe he was a true Christian man. And I do not believe that he thought he was involved in anything sinister with the Guidestones, from his perspective. But there were a lot of things he did not know about and that we discovered later on. But part of it was what Mr. Martin objected to were these wild theories that people would come up with, and then they would try to apply them to the Guidestones, to the monument and so on. And that he would just sort of shake his head at that. He wasn't a fan of those kind of things. And what we told him, what we assured him of, was that we were simply trying to document the history of what happened. Old-fashioned documentary journalism, who, what, where, when, and why. And just document, tell the story of the Georgia Guidestones. How did it happen? Who was involved? What was actually said? What was actually done? And just to show the history of how this monument came to be. And because of that, he felt more reassured with us. And I really do believe that we accomplished that. We simply told the story and we followed the leads as we discovered them. And for those who still think that we somehow or other took advantage of him, I can tell you that Wyatt Martin was well aware of the footage that we had captured. He was standing right there while we captured it. And several days after our interview with him, it was revealed to him that we had captured certain information on camera. And he still was okay with us going forward and using whatever we had captured during the interview, because he knew that none of that information that we gathered actually of itself reveal the identity of R.C. Christian. We had to chase it down. We had to take it from there. And I believe part of the reason why he was not concerned was because he did not understand all the dynamics of what was going on with the project. And to understand that, you really have to watch the film. There's too many details for me to go into it here on the radio program. But I can say this, R.C. Christian was more than one person. There was one person who was the front man, but he was working with at least one other person. And we reveal all of that in the film. And if I could explain it another way, Wyatt Martin was to the Guidestones what a real estate agent is to someone buying a house. If you're the home buyer, you're going to buy a home. How you decorate the home, how you paint the walls, all that kind of stuff, that's your business. That's not really the business of your real estate agent. They don't deal with all that. They deal with going over the financing, the escrow stuff, all the paperwork that's got to be filled out, etc. They handle the red tape. That's the role of Wyatt Martin in all of this. He was simply the banker. He was helping to manage the financing for it. But it was R.C. Christian who brought in the philosophy, the design, the ideas of the Guidestone, what they would represent, and what the philosophy behind what's written on the stones was. That was all R.C. Christian. But Wyatt Martin didn't know anything. You got to remember, this is back in the 1979 and 80. This is before the internet, before you have this explosion of information that happens online. So Wyatt Martin had no idea about things like Rosicrucianism as a regular church-going Christian man. And according to Wyatt Martin, when he was talking to R.C. Christian and he asked him why he had chosen as his pseudonym the name R.C. Christian, his response was, well, because I'm a Christian. That's what he said, according to Wyatt Martin. Now, of course, that testimony, once you understand Rosicrucianism, the symbol for Rosicrucianism is the rose and the cross. The rose symbolizes secrecy, the whole concept of sub rosa, beneath the rose. It's a symbol for secrecy. And then the cross, of course, symbolizes Christianity. And really what Rosicrucianism represents is a secret version of Christianity, which in a nutshell is Gnosticism, ancient Gnosticism, which is a blending of the ancient mysteries, the old pagan belief systems, with a veneer of Christian ideas and names and that kind of thing. But it's not true Bible-based Christianity. All right, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to go to the break, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the potential significance of the date that this happened on July the 6th. That's when this explosion and the demolition of the Guidestones happened. We're going to discuss July the 6th and whether or not there's any significance to that date in history when we come back right after this.
Adullam Films presents a stunning new documentary, The True Christian History of America, exploring the Bible-based Christian origins of the early American view of freedom, tracing the principles of liberty back to England and the Great Reformation. For many years, our schools have taught that the founding of our republic was from the deists, or the Enlightenment in France. But is that truly the case? Did the Enlightenment first declare no taxation without representation or trial by jury? Were they the champions of freedom of speech or of the press or the right to bear arms? And why did Samuel Adams declare that the reign of political Protestantism would commence just before signing the Declaration of Independence? Filmed on location in both the United States and Europe, The True Christian History of America is now available at adullamfilms.com. That's adullamfilms.com. Now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Adullam Films presents an exciting new documentary, Bridge to Babylon, part 3 in an award-winning series on the untold history of the Bible. Dr. Jack Moorman calls it a masterful presentation of what is the single most important issue facing Christians today, the defense of the Bible as the Word of God. Why was the Bible changed in 1881? Why have so many churches abandoned biblical inerrancy? And what direction are scholars taking the Scriptures today? Learn the truth in Bridge to Babylon, the sequel to A Lamp in the Dark and Tares Among the Wheat. Bridge to Babylon is now available at noiseofthunderradio.com. That's noiseofthunderradio.com.
Noise of Thunder Radio.
A but we're doing a special one-hour program on the whole issue of the Georgia Guidestones. Now, back to the issue of when this happened, the day that they started reporting after 4 a.m., it was sometime after 4 a.m., that this explosion happens, and then by the end of the day, the whole monument is demolished. The whole thing is knocked down by the end of the day. I went looking for information on July 6th, the date, July the 6th, because sometimes when events happen, I mean, the whole Guidestones project was set up to be in alignment with the stars and all this other kind of stuff. And there are some people who are speculating that this detonation, whatever it was somehow or other an inside job, that the globalists themselves are responsible for this. Now, who knows at this point? I don't think anybody knows just yet. But I decided to go look up the date July 6th. What happened on July the 6th? Well, yeah, things like King Richard III of England was crowned. 1483 and 1777, British forces capture Fort Ticonderoga during the American Revolution. 1854, the Republican Party held its first convention. 1858, Lyman Blake patented the shoe manufacturing machine. Well, that must have been it. Probably the most significant thing is 1923, July 6, 1923, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics was established. In other words, the USSR, the Soviet Union, July 6, 1923. Now, was the date of this explosion specifically chosen by someone, or was this a random date and they had no idea that it was associated with something like the USSR? I honestly don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens as the investigation unfolds. I see one of two scenarios. Either this was an act of vandalism somehow, or it was an inside job that symbolizes something that we don't yet understand, that there's a reason they wanted this to happen. Now, of course, when I saw it, I mean, I was following the story throughout the day. I kept getting emails, and I was working on the newsletter. And then by the end of the day, they knocked down the whole monument. They demolished the whole thing. And I have to admit, I was surprised by that. I thought they'd probably try to repair the monument or something. But no, they knocked the whole thing down. And I kept thinking about Daniel chapter 2, where Nebuchadnezzar had the dream about the statue that he saw with the head of gold, the chest and the arms of silver, the belly and the thighs of brass, then the two legs of iron and the feet made up of iron and miry clay and so on. And then the stone cut without hands, which is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, smashes the feet of the statue and the whole thing is destroyed. And we read in Daniel chapter 2:35, then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, of course, the stone that smote the image, that is a picture of Christ becoming a great mountain that filled the whole earth. That's the kingdom of God. Ultimately, as we read in the book of Revelation, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's ultimately where all of that is headed. But that's the picture there. Now, of course, we don't pretend that the fall of the Georgia Guidestone somehow or other means that the New World Order has ended. I saw it more as a picture, like a foreshadowing of what is ultimately going to happen upon the earth. Almost like God allowed this to happen somehow. And for those who pay attention to prophecy, those of us who fear the Lord, those of us who are looking at this rise of evil in our country, and not just in our country, but around the world. Around the world, the normalization of evil in open rebellion against God. I've talked about before how I believe all of this is really the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 2. Why did the nations rage and the peoples imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his Christ. Make no mistake, brothers and sisters, that's what all of this globalist rebellion is about. It is the fulfillment of prophecy. And while on the one hand, it's somewhat depressing and distressing to watch it happen, on the other hand, it ought to encourage our faith because we know the Word of God is true. Praise the Lord. We know the Word of God is true. God says in Isaiah 46, God says, I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. God says, I have declared it and I will bring it to pass. It's the Lord ultimately who accomplishes these things. And for those of us who are his servants, who believe in him, who walk in the fear of God, when we see prophecy being fulfilled, that is there. It is intended to encourage our faith. That's what Jesus says. I have told you these things before, so that when it comes to pass, you may believe. It's to strengthen our faith as believers in Christ. And I certainly, there's the immediate context of what Jesus is talking about. But I believe that's also the greater context of prophecy. The scripture says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All right, so we're going to talk more about some of the details on the Georgia Guidestone, some of the history. We have learned that one of the key figures in the Georgia Guidestone history, who was Wyatt Martin, who those of you who have seen our documentary, Dark Clouds Over Elberton, you know that we had an extensive interview with Wyatt Martin before he passed away. We've learned that he passed away in December of 2021, and that was confirmed for us by somebody who is a relation to Wyatt Martin, kind of a distant relation, but has a family member that was very close to him. And they confirmed for us, they actually sent us the obituary. The strange thing about Wyatt Martin's obituary, at least from the one that I've seen, is it does not make any mention of the Georgia Guidestones, which to me is somewhat peculiar because that is, as at least as I understand Wyatt Martin, the thing that he is most known for in society. But it may be that the family members did not want to mention it. It's certainly a very controversial monument, one that has been opposed by people who oppose globalism. I can tell you, based upon my own experience interviewing Mr. Martin in person, I don't believe he intended any sort of ill at all by this monument. He did not design the monument. He only handled the financing for it as a banker, because that was his job. He was a banker at the time. And the only reason that he knew the true identity of R.C. Christian was because in order to facilitate the financing, R.C. Christian had to go through a bank. And Wyatt Martin, the banker, as he reveals in his interview, said, the only way I can open a bank account for you is to know your true identity. And so R.C. Christian said, okay, I'll agree to that, but as long as you don't reveal my identity to the rest of the world. So that's why Wyatt Martin gave his word that he would not do that, that he would not openly declare who R.C. Christian was. But at the time, you have to remember this monument was put up in 1980, and people were, they did not have the awareness of globalism and the New World Order. And I honestly believe, having talked to Mr. Martin when we interviewed him, he simply did not understand what all of these elements were really about. But he himself did not see anything sinister in it. He just thought, okay, well, this is this guy's own personal opinion about things. But he didn't think that this was some sinister globalist monument. Unfortunately, it was later revealed when R.C. Christian published the book, Common Sense Renewed, several years after the monument had been built. He published that book, and there's no question. It's full-blown population control, depopulation, all of the elements of globalism that people are rightly concerned about. Not only that, but we show, I mean, the name R.C. Christian is the obvious association of the name R.C. Christian is Christian Rosenkreuz from the Rosicrucian mythology. That's the obvious connection with that name. And part of what we uncovered, as we show in the film, by going to Coggins Industries, and we you watch us do this throughout the documentary, if you see it, is we were given a stack of papers from Coggins Industries because they were involved somewhat indirectly, but they were involved with helping to put the whole deal together because they thought that having some kind of a monument in the town of Elberton might be a tourist attraction, and they wanted to see tourism increase for their town. That was their interest. But among the papers that we obtained from Coggins Industries, you find a Rosicrucian declaration in no uncertain way, references to Rosicrucianism, but of course, we show you that and explain it all in the film. And our theory is, as we explain, that this Rosicrucian declaration was supposed to be included and may have been included in the time capsule, because there was all this talk about a time capsule. Now, one of the news stories that came out, they claimed that there was no time capsule, that now that the guidestones have been cleared away, that it's supposedly provable that a time capsule never existed. That's what they're saying in the news. My problem with that, and I've still got to follow up on it. If you guys find out anything, let us know. But the way that the news seems to be representing it is that they expected a time capsule to be beneath the guidestones themselves. But my understanding is, from what I remember, that's not where anybody actually thought the time capsule was. The time capsule is supposed to be buried beneath the stone placard that's next to the monument, where it says, "Let these be guidestones to an age of reason." And then it mentions the name R.C. Christian and then says a pseudonym on it. It's that flat slab that's buried into the ground there next to the guidestones. Okay, so not beneath the guidestones, but to the side of the guidestones, beneath the stone slab. We show that stone slab over and over again in the film, but you can also see it if you look at any aerial views of the monument itself. It's obvious. You just see it off to the side there. But my understanding is, from what I remember, that's where the time capsule is supposed to be, not beneath the guidestones themselves. But this Rosicrucian declaration that we discovered in the papers at Coggins Industries, I came to believe that that was something probably that they put inside the time capsule. There's no question that the Georgia Guidestones were a symbol of the New World Order. People said that. They knew that for many years. And while the people who were actually directly behind it, yes, as we explain in the film, there was a connection to the United Nations. I don't believe, or at least we found no evidence that it was an in-depth connection, but it was a connection because they had apparently sought to the United Nations, according to Wyatt Martin, for the translation of all the different languages that the 10 guides, you know, sometimes they're called the 10 commandments of the New Age. Some have called them the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. But those guides, those principles, maintain a world population at or below 500 million people, for example, writing that in different languages, the translation into different languages was reportedly, according to Wyatt Martin, done by people at the United Nations. So that does bring in a UN connection. Now, whether or not that connection was more in depth, we were not able to uncover. But there's a lot of clues that we have in the film just based upon the available evidence that leads into different areas and most certainly leads into all of these principles and philosophies of globalism. And we do believe that the people who were behind it, and we track that information down in the film, we do believe that those individuals had this globalist world view. Now, I can tell you something about people who are involved in things like Rosicrucianism. They often believe, they typically believe, there are some of them who are very sinister people. And we're watching some of those, like these people who are into outright Satanism. They're obviously overtly wicked. They are pursuing an evil agenda, and they know it's evil through and through. Then you have people who believe that they are really following some form of enlightenment, and they don't necessarily see themselves as promoting something bad. They think that they're promoting an enlightened generation for humanity. That's what they really believe. There's a very interesting interview with Del Bigtree from the High Wire. Del Bigtree, who covers a lot of the stuff on the vaccines and the whole vaccine industry. He has a lot of very important, valuable research on that. Well, he did an interview with G. Edward Griffin that you can find online. And he admits that he was raised up in a household as a liberal, that he lived most of his life as a liberal, believing all these liberal ideas and this kind of thing, and rejecting the conservative arguments. And now that he's gotten older and he's watching that liberalism has turned into socialism and now full-blown communism, and he's recognizing that, hey, wait a second, there's a whole dark, evil agenda going on here. And so when he interviewed G. Edward Griffin, they went over the interview that Mr. Griffin had years ago with Yuri Bezmenov, the former KGB agent, and where Yuri Bezmenov is talking about the systematic deception that the communists implement in a country over a long period of time. And Del Bigtree was, as I understand his interview, you'd have to watch it for yourself, but he was admitting that he had been deceived by a lot of these ideas that he did not understand. And now he's recognizing, wait a second. There is also an interview with Brannon House over at Worldview Weekend, where Brannon interviews Dr. Naomi Wolf. And she had written an article called Rethinking the Second Amendment, which I highly recommend, because she is known as a liberal and a feminist and was always an anti-gunner, she says. She was always against the idea of guns and all this other kind of stuff. But as she's now watching what has happened with this liberal agenda, this anti-gun agenda, where she's done more study into history and so on, and recognizing, yes, they do disarm people, then round them up, then put them in gulags and concentration camps. And this is how Holocausts and genocides happen. And so she's hearing now these stories about re-education camps and quarantine camps and forced vaccination and vaccinating children and this kind of thing with a dangerous vaccine that is going to injure and probably kill many of them. And she's recognizing this whole thing has a very dark and evil conclusion. And hey, this is not what we signed up for as liberals. A lot of liberals are waking up. They're recognizing that what they thought was some humanitarian philosophy actually has a very sinister, dark, and evil conclusion to it. And that's not what they want to be a part of. Now, I think that's a good thing. Hopefully, we as Christians can remind them that the principles of liberty that we have in our country and throughout the Western world are derived from the Bible by our Christian ancestors, and this is why you ought to put your faith in the Word of God and turn away from sin, turn away from unbelief, put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Praise the Lord. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Romans 10:9. That's the promise of God. All right. So, the Georgia Geisens. One of the things I talk about in my little article here is when we were filming there back in 2015, and I was up there with one of our actors, Ron Height, who plays, he's actually the actor who portrays R.C. Christian. So he played R.C. Christian, but we needed some dramatic footage to try and recreate the idea of witches and occultists up at the Guidestones, because there are stories, at least years ago, about how at the Guidestones there were people who would go up there and have seances and ceremonies and this kind of thing, pagan rituals, because they see the Guidestones as some symbol of the New Age. And so this went on. So we were filming a reenactment, and I had Ron wearing a dark robe with a hood, and he was carrying a lantern, and of course, you know, looked like a sinister high priest character or something, and walking around in between the Guidestones, and I'm following him with a camera and whatnot. And we were filming for not very long before a car pulled up, and it was a sheriff's deputy. And he got out of the car, and he was a very nice guy, and he was kind of laughing and shaking his head, and he says, well, we got a call that the angel of death was up at the Guidestones. Apparently somebody, there's some kind of ongoing surveillance. They've got surveillance cameras there at the Guidestone, at the property that has the Guidestones. You can see them up on poles. You can see the cameras. They're in plain view. And they put them up there because people were vandalizing the monument. They would go spray paint stuff on there and whatnot, try to deface the monuments and this kind of thing. And so the authorities, they set up a surveillance camera system and, you know, warned anybody, hey, if we catch you doing this, we're gonna come after you. But we were there. It was about sundown. And so when the sheriff's deputy drove up, we talked to him, but the impression that I had at the time was that the surveillance of the monument was ongoing, that there are people, you know, there's two types of surveillance. One, where you have a camera that's just recording information that people can go back and look at the footage later on if they want to, or you have active surveillance where there's some kind of TV screen somewhere where somebody's sitting at a desk looking at what's going on while it's happening, active surveillance. And my impression was, at least based on that experience, was that they had active surveillance at the Guidestones. And now it may be that that active surveillance is only for a certain part of the day. Maybe the people who are watching the monitors sign off and are not watching the monitors from, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night until 6 o'clock in the morning. I have no idea. But if they have somebody, you know, like if the police station was watching the monitors all night long, how could somebody get over there without it being noticed? That would be my question. How could that happen? Now, of course, if they sign off at some point and you don't have an active person watching the monitor and they're just recording the footage with nobody actively watching it, then it makes a little bit more sense. Another issue is that I was there back in 2015. That's the last time I was there. And who knows, maybe the policies or whatever that they were doing 7 years ago have changed. That's entirely possible. Now, there's no question that some people are speculating that this may have been an inside job, that the powers that be, the deep state, whoever that might be, could have done this themselves. So this could have been an inside job somehow or other. Now, why would that be the case? Quite possibly so they could blame this on right-wing extremism. But that is a possibility. They could have done this to blame it on right-wing extremism. You study what's going on right now with the January 6 show trials, where they're insisting that people waving flags were guilty of insurrection in Washington, D.C. They are, the J6 committee is specifically mentioning people like Roger Stone and Alex Jones. Alex Jones has specifically been at the Georgia Guidestones here just in the past couple of years. And he's made a number of videos talking about it, that yes, this is a monument that is declaring depopulation, population control, etc., all of which is true. But Alex Jones has highlighted it through his InfoWars website, and now they are claiming that there's this right-wing conspiracy surrounding President Trump, and all these right-wingers are a danger to our national security and all this other kind of stuff. That's the argument that they're making. So is it possible that the Guidestones demolition was somehow an inside job, and that they're trying to cover it up, or they're going to try to find a way to say, well, look, this is just one more example of right-wing extremism at work in the United States, and use that to fuel this whole argument through the January 6th committee? I don't know. We've got to wait and see what unfolds here in the weeks ahead. Now, of course, there are others who are speculating that this could have been done by someone, a person, possibly a group of individuals, although right now the only thing they're showing in the surveillance footage is one guy who runs in and then he runs out and then a single car that departs. So assuming that that's the person who was guilty of this, it could be somebody trying to push back against the New World Order. And the globalists are even predicting that there's going to be pushback. In fact, if you go and look at the Rockefeller Foundation's lockstep scenario and their scenario narratives that they published back in 2010, the lockstep scenario that had to do with the pandemic, the plandemic, says, quote, a world of tighter top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership with limited innovation and growing citizen pushback. Growing citizen pushback. They recognize that people are going to push back against what they are doing with their Great Reset, their New World Order. And one of the examples that a lot of people are pointing to right now is what is happening in Sri Lanka. The situation in Sri Lanka, they're being subjected to globalism. In fact, there is an article on the Worldview Weekend website by Leo Homan, and the headline says, is Sri Lanka leading the way into the New World Order, or is it showing us the way out? And then it talks about how the situation there is like a powder keg. They say, or Leo Homan says in his article, he says, quote, since this spring, people on the island nation formerly known as Ceylon have been dealing with gas shortages, power outages, high inflation, food riots, and runs on the banks. I have sources inside the country feeding me information, so this is not third-hand information, etc. Okay, and then he talks about how the situation is just getting worse and worse. This is how communists and socialists control a country. They basically destroy the people's ability to survive and to provide for themselves, because that leads them into complete reliance upon the state. And that's what they want. So now the people are in all sorts of uprisings. The article says that a Sri Lankan wrote, quote, this is probably the start of everything for other countries through the Great Reset. our PM Prime Minister Ranil is a Freemason and a member of the WEF, World Economic Forum. The article goes on and it says, what about the Prime Minister Ranil, I asked. He is the notorious Masonic traitor and disciple of Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum. That's what the article says. Notorious Masonic traitor. That's a direct quote. So they are obviously including the Freemasons here. Why do groups like the Freemasons exist? Freemasons, Skull and Bones, Rosicrucians, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, all of these different secret groups. And there's not just a couple of them. There's a whole variety of them. And their purpose is to engineer the subversion of society. Just like what you're reading in the Bible. When you're reading in the Old Testament how the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right in the sight of God, and they're building temples or they're building the high places, as they were called, which are altars to the idols, places to worship their pagan gods. It's because they are planning and plotting ultimately the subversion of the kingdom. And that's what happened when Ahab and Jezebel, for example, got into power in the Old Testament. They were worshipers of Baal. And how did the priests of Baal end up at the queen's table? They're being honored, but the servants of the Lord are being driven out and persecuted. It's because of a systematic progression within secret groups operating, worshiping pagan gods, worshiping the devil, basically, in rebellion against the one true God, and they're engineering and planning the political takeover. And now what we're seeing is we're seeing this happening at a global level. That's what we're seeing at a global level. But how's it going to happen? Are God's people going to push back? Will that happen? Well, I have believed for years, since I studied the Reformed view of Bible prophecy, historicism, as it is called. In fact, I've been having an ongoing conversation online with our dear friend and supporter, Jason, who's out in Colorado. And Jason sends us research and quotes from time to time. And he's been sending me quotes from J.A. Wiley in the 19th century, some quotes that I did not know about, where Wiley is openly declaring that the papacy is behind communism. And here's a very, very specific quote. I want you to see this. This is powerful. Where he says at one point, J.A. Wiley says, this new phase of socialism will not escape the piercing eye of Rome. And if she finds it necessary or for her interest to pay court to the men of the Red Republic, she will not hesitate for a moment what to do. Popery in its first phase was baptized paganism. In its last, it seems destined to appear as baptized atheism. Baptized atheism. Now remember what Pope Francis has said about atheists going to heaven several years ago. Militant atheism is what secular humanism is. It is what socialism and communism is. It is militant atheism. Now, with all of that in mind, I wrote Jason back and I sent him a link to this article that was posted on InfoWars. And the headline says, quote, GOP blasts Biden's unconstitutional global initiative to replace Christianity with atheism. Replace Christianity with atheism. And that was from an article on July 2, 2022. Wiley, to me, is one of the most important historians from the 19th century. And the more I study those who were from the Reformed Protestant view, the traditional Reformed Protestant view, especially where prophecy is concerned, they seem to be way ahead. They knew things. They're foretelling things that they're not just guessing. I mean, think about the very specific nature. This is before, Wiley is writing about this before there was a Russian Revolution, or rather a Bolshevik Revolution, we should say, or the revolution in China, or all these communist revolutions that happened in the 20th century. But he could see where things were headed with Rome and her Jesuit order. He was able to recognize it back in the 1860s and 70s, and he wrote about it. All right, now, what does the backlash that we're seeing in different parts of the world against globalism, because people are starting to push back. They're pushing back in different countries, and they're saying to the globalists, no, we are not going to cooperate with the Great Reset. We are not going to allow you to destroy meat production, food production, destroy our economies and all this other kind of stuff. Inject us with these poisonous vaccines. We're not putting up with this. People are pushing back. Well, let's go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 25. And let's read about prophecy here when it talks about Antichrist, the power of Antichrist. And it says in verse 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. Think about that. Think to change times and laws. Well, they're trying to change the times. They're getting rid of AD and BC, Anno Domini and before Christ, and replacing it with this ACE, after common era, and BCE, before common era. They're trying to deny the authority of Christ in the calendar. And remember, in the year of our Lord, that phrase is in the U.S. Constitution. Let's bear that in mind. Think to change times and laws. Well, think about what they're changing the law of nature. They're declaring that they don't know what a woman is. The World Health Organization has recently declared that gender is not limited to male and female, that there's somehow or other genders that go beyond male and female. Thinking to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of time, that is the saints, for a certain period of time. Verse 26, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. They, meaning the saints, most likely. But I'm going to read you a commentary on that here in just a minute. So verse 26 says, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven. Notice it does not say the kingdom of heaven, but rather the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Now, let me read you from a commentary on those verses. And this is from a Reformed historicist worldview, in particular from Gill's Exposition of the Entire Bible, one of our favorites, John Gill. And he talks about the court shall sit, the judge shall take the bench, etc. And then where it says, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And Gill says, quote, either the angels or rather the saints of the Most High, particularly Christian princes or leaders, the Christian princes into whose hearts God will put it to hate the whore, eat her flesh, and burn her with fire, so that there shall be an utter end of Antichrist. He shall be stripped of all his power and authority. His destruction will be inevitable and irrecoverable. He shall never come out of it. It shall continue until the end of the world, to the end of time. So, this particular Reformed view is that the saints are not just going to be persecuted, but rather that there's going to be pushback. There's going to be resistance from God's people, and ultimately they are going to take away the dominion of Antichrist to consume it and destroy it unto the end, meaning until the end. Now, it's acknowledged by them that ultimately the power of Antichrist is not going to be fully destroyed until the Lord returns. So in 2 Thessalonians, where it talks about the man of sin, it says, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, which is the preaching of the word of God by the church, by the saints, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So Antichrist is consumed, and some, like Gill, seem to think that this process of consuming, Martin Luther seemed to think the same thing, is an ongoing process that happens over generations or over centuries. It's not a single event. It's a series of events that diminish the dominion of Antichrist, of course, which they believe was the papacy, and the whole papal kingdom and power and influence and so on, that's consumed one step at a time and utterly destroyed with the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when the Puritans came to America, that they gave as the number one reason for being here to preach the gospel and to establish a bulwark against the kingdom of Antichrist. The whole idea of a bulwark is like a fortress that you're actively resisting the Antichrist powers. And of course, they associate it with the papacy and the Jesuits in particular. There's no question about that. And isn't it interesting that these are the same powers that right now have control of the government in Washington, D.C., and are endangering the liberty of our entire country using the principles of communism, socialism, this militant atheism that men like J.A. Wiley warned us about 150 years ago, which we find very, very interesting and compelling. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. However you see prophecy, if you're somebody who fears God and you have faith that the Bible is the Word of God, then praise the Lord. We stand with you. We certainly believe that. We don't necessarily think that our view of prophecy is somehow or other infallible, not at all, but I find the Reformed teachers who agreed with what nearly all the Reformers believed about prophecy, I find their conclusions to be very compelling, and they had some of the most piercing insights about events, not only in their day, but how they would unfold in the future. So it's very interesting to watch these things happening in our country and in our world even today. All right, brethren, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there. But we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.